The commercial kangaroo industry across Australia follows a specific code of practice for animal welfare. This is a three-part audio guide for commercial harvesters that runs through the main changes to the new code. In particular, the three new standard operating procedures, or SOPs, found on page 23 onwards. These are step-by-step guides to follow in the field. As well as these SOPs, a good starting point for harvesters is the list of requirements on page 48.
Hello, and welcome to this audio guide to the new standard operating procedure for the euthanasia of pouch young. This second SOP in the code tells us what to do if you find a joey in the pouch of a harvested female kangaroo. In part 3 of this audio guide, we'll talk about dealing with joeys found outside the pouch. Now, a quick warning here, this audio guide contains detailed descriptions of the euthanasia of young joeys. It's important to get harvesters up to speed on best practice in these situations, so please continue listening at your own discretion. I'll start by explaining 5 important definitions that come up a lot in the commercial code. Then I'll talk you through the 3 methods of euthanasia for pouch young and when to use them. Finally, in about 10 minutes, I'll speak to Dr. Trudy Sharp, who's an expert on animal welfare and kangaroo harvesting, to answer some of your questions. Let's get started with 5 quick definitions, some of which have been updated in the code. The first term, euthanasia, is the act of inducing death with minimum pain and distress to the animal to stop its current or potential suffering. In this context, it means killing an orphan joey or wounded kangaroo that would otherwise experience a prolonged death. Next, you'll notice that joeys are called young in the code, or more specifically, dependent young, meaning they still rely on their mother to some extent for milk or protection. The words young and joey are interchangeable. They are also split into 2 groups, pouch young and young at foot, and there are separate procedures for dealing with each stage. In part 2 of the audio guide, we are focusing on the first group of joeys called pouch young. Most of them are permanently in the pouch attached to the teat. The slightly older pouch young, with some fur, can spend short periods out of the pouch in what's called the in-out phase. You can tell because they'll have harder soles on their feet and they might be dirty. They are still called pouch young and are still very dependent on the mother. The next term is sentient, and it's a new addition to the code. If an animal is considered sentient, it means it can feel sensations from sensory input. This is a gradual process, but the general understanding is that kangaroos and wallabies become sentient when they get their first fur, even a single hair. This often coincides with the eyes starting to open. A good way to remember it is no fur, no feeling. This brings us to the final word, which is consciousness. A sentient animal can be conscious or unconscious. A conscious animal is aware of sensations such as pain. An unconscious animal has lost consciousness and no longer feels pain. Humane methods of harvesting and euthanasia lead to instant unconsciousness followed by a quick death. The recommended methods of euthanasia are widely understood by professional harvesters. But the lead scientists who put together the new code discovered during field assessments and discussions with harvesters that many had questions about which method was most suitable for joeys at different stages of development, and also how the specific methods should be applied. So this second SOP is a step-by-step guide on how to euthanize pouch young. I'll break this SOP into 2 parts, determining the sentience of pouch young and applying the right method of euthanasia. As harvesters will have observed, many adult female kangaroos and wallabies are likely to have a joey at some stage of development. Some species, like the red kangaroo, can even support multiple joeys at the same time, one in gestation, one in the pouch, and one at foot. There's a table on page 38 of a code that lists all of the stages of development and includes photos. Now, you no longer have to avoid shooting female kangaroos and wallabies, and we'll ask Trudy about why this is in our chat later on, but it's still up to the harvester to decide if they want to target a female, given that it means they'll most likely have to euthanize a joey as well. The key here is to be particularly observant when targeting females, and the pouch must be checked thoroughly after you've taken the shot. If you find a joey in the pouch, no matter how small, you must euthanize it quickly and humanely. This is because all pouch young are completely dependent on the mother for milk and therefore would otherwise starve to death. There are three methods for euthanizing pouch young, and the best method depends on their size and whether they're sentient, meaning they can feel pain. The best sign of sentience is if the joey has fur, even a single hair. Remember, no fur, no feeling. Open or slightly open eyes can also be an indication that they are sentient. Once you've decided if the joey is sentient, you can work out which of the three methods of euthanasia needs to be applied. Cervical dislocation and decapitation can only be used on pouch young that are not sentient. A concussive blow to the back of the head must be used for sentient pouch young. Now I'll go into some detail about how to carry out each one, working our way up from their use on small to large pouch young. Firstly, cervical dislocation should only be used on non-sentient pouch young, less than 5 centimetres long. It involves separating the skull from the spine by strongly pinching the spine at the top of the neck using a thumb and finger. This might lead to the head coming off. This process can be done while the joey is still attached to the teat. Decapitation is similar to the first method in that it should only be used on non-sentient pouch young, but they can be bigger than 5 centimetres. It's done by severing the head from the body at the top of the neck with a single cut using a sharp blade. And lastly, a concussive blow to the back of the head should be used on sentient pouch young. To do this, remove the joey from the pouch, hold it firmly around the top of the back legs and base of the tail, and swing firmly in an arc so that the back of the head is hit against a large solid surface that won't move or compress during the impact. This might be the tray of a ute, for example. At this age, the skull is very soft, so the blow will be effective if done properly. The advice is not to use the railing of the utility rack because it could lead to decapitation. Also, don't suspend the joey upside down and try to hit it, because this might not lead to unconsciousness. If you've used a concussive blow, you'll also need to confirm death by checking for the 4 Bs: beat, breath, blink, and bounce. If there are signs of life, you need to repeat the method of euthanasia. To recap, let's run through a few scenarios. Imagine you've killed a female kangaroo with a single shot to the head and you find a joey in the pouch when you come to inspect the body. It's the size of a jelly bean, has no fur, and the eyes are shut. No fur, no feeling. So you know it isn't sentient and can't feel pain. You can either use cervical dislocation using your thumb and finger or decapitation using a sharp blade, both aiming for the top of the neck. Okay, in the next scenario, the joey is a little bigger, has a couple of hairs. The eyes are closed at first, but then start to open. Fur and open eyes are an indication that the animal is sentient and can feel pain. So a concussive blow to the back of the head is the best option. Afterwards, you need to confirm death. In the last scenario, the joey has fur and is in the pouch with its legs sticking out, and it has hard, dirty pads on the hind feet, meaning it's sentient and in the in-out phase. A concussive blow to the back of the head is suitable in this circumstance, and death must be confirmed afterwards. All right, our guest, Dr. Trudy Sharp, has been studying these euthanasia methods and how humane they are for many years, and she's more than equipped to answer our questions. Welcome, Trudy, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Chris.
Why has the advice to avoid shooting female kangaroos and wallabies, where it's obvious that they have dependent young, why has that been removed from the code?
Well, to first give you some background, in 2012, the Maine kangaroo processors introduced a male-only harvesting policy, and that was in response to public concerns from animal welfare groups about the consequences for dependent young. The idea with that policy was that if fewer females were harvested, then fewer joeys would need to be euthanized as a result. And under this policy, about 95% of all harvested kangaroos were males. But in 2020, we conducted a study into the impacts of a male-only policy on the welfare of kangaroos. And we also looked at the sustainability of commercial harvesting, the population dynamics of kangaroos, and also the attitudes of landholders. And what we found was that male-only harvesting leads to a faster recovery of kangaroos compared to when around 30% of the harvest was female, which was that was the long-term average before the male-only harvest policy was introduced. So under this male-only harvest policy, more female kangaroos would be left in the population, and when conditions are really good, most of them will be breeding. So landholders know this, and they were unhappy with that situation, and many thought that commercial harvesting was not reducing the kangaroo grazing pressure. So they sought other ways of reducing kangaroo numbers, and many of them turned to other methods for managing kangaroos, such as non-commercial shooting. However, we know that non-commercial shooting and other methods can have more severe animal welfare impacts when compared to commercial harvesting. So because of these negative outcomes, the advice to avoid shooting females was removed from this new commercial code.
If unfurred pouch young, so they're non-sentient, if they don't feel pain, why do they need to be euthanized?
Okay, good research coming out of New Zealand. There's researchers there that use really good techniques, and they found that pouch young that still have closed eyes and no fur are not yet sentient. That means that they can't feel sensations from sensory input such as pain. We know that they have pain receptors and that the pathways are working, which means they can still react to painful stimuli and might have a response, for example, if you pinch their toe or their ear, but the brain isn't developed enough to process that information into a negative sensation that they would actually feel as pain. The problem is that this ability to perceive pain occurs gradually as they're growing and developing. So there's no distinct pain on or off switch, so to speak. And because of this reason, that's best to take the precautionary principle and euthanize all pouch regardless of their state of development.
And can a concussive blow to the head be made using another method such as a hammer or a mallet?
Yes, so long as the solid surface doesn't move or compress, then that force that's applied will be transferred to the skull. The aim with a concussive blow to the head is to cause immediate unconsciousness and sufficient damage to the brain so that the animal dies without ever regaining consciousness. So the aim is to get the force into that skull and brain. So as long as it goes to the head and it's not kind of transferred into another object, then that should work.
And just following on from that, can a captive bolt device be used on larger pouch joeys, the ones with fur?
So this code was put together to maximise animal welfare as much as possible. When it comes to captive bolt devices for the euthanasia of pouch young, we didn't include them in this version of the code because there's just not enough research on this as yet. We really need to know the most suitable type of bolt device. There's lots of different types that you can get, whether it's going to be efficient at causing immediate unconsciousness and death, and also the best location on the head for the placement of the muzzle. We can't recommend a method until we know for certain that it will achieve an acceptable standard of humaneness and efficiency.
And finally, Trudy, why should harvesters euthanize the large pouch young that they come across rather than just letting them go and fend for themselves?
Okay, large pouch young that are moving in and out of the pouch still rely on their mother for milk. They might have hard feet, which means that they've spent time out of the pouch, or they do spend time out of the pouch, but they're still dependent on their mother and they're not likely to survive without her. If joeys are orphaned at this stage of development, they will experience severe welfare impacts, including starvation, dehydration, and potentially predation. So it's much more humane to euthanize them than let them go.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it there, Trudy. Thank you very much for your insights into the code today.
Thanks, Chris.
There are two more parts to this audio guide that look at the procedures for shooting kangaroos and wallabies and dealing with young at foot. You can visit agrifutures.com.au/kangaroo-resources. That's kangaroo-resources to download the audio guide and the code.